yesterday, here in Eretz Yisrael, under very modest conditions, given the nature of the corona. I was zeche to know the Rosh Yeshiva Malei Adumim for many decades. Here and there, I had the opportunity to converse with him, to talk to him and learning. A number of times I asked him for different etzos, and he was a remarkable person. A remarkable goyim who was sholeit b'chol mechmani HaTorah. He himself was a product of two very well-known classical Rosh Yeshiva or Rabbonim. He grew up in Montreal under the guidance of a goyim, Rav Pinchas Hirschsprung, one of the Gdolei Ador. He received smicha from him at the age of 20, and then went to learn in Ner Yisrael in Baltimore under the hadracha of Agoin Rav Udemin, the Ratzal Dibracha. He then became a Rav and was a Rav of a number of rather fascinating Jewish communities in Charleston and in Toronto and later on in London at Jews College, and finally, kimat 40 years, Rosh Yeshiva Malei Adumim. What was remarkable about him was not only his gaonus, his unbelievable mastery of Kol HaTorah Kula, but he was an Adam Gadol who was very independent in his thinking. Incredibly autonomous as a Pesach, but someone who was very connected to Am Yisrael, to Eretz Yisrael, someone who was really in the forefront of paskening in a very original way, many, many modern shilas in technology having to do with the state. He had a certain kind of panoramic vision that was rather unusual. But all this was overshadowed by his incredible anava, such a modesty, such a pashtus, such a tznius, such a running away from COVID. He had no sense of ego whatsoever. I was very taken by this outstanding goal. I just want to share with you one vignette, which I've shared with many. I heard it from a very prominent balabas in his shul in Clanton Park in Toronto. In 1973, Hagoyin Rav Nachum Rabinovitz was the Rav of the Clanton Park Synagogue in Toronto. And in the context of the Yom Kippur War that took place here, of course, in Eretz Yisrael, there was an appeal that was made for the State of Israel, for Medinat Yisrael, and that appeal was made by none other than the Rav of the Clanton Park Synagogue, Hagoyin Rav Nachum Rabinovitz Zatzal. He made a dramatic and very emotional kind of appeal. And initially, the reaction was one of, I can only describe it as, this is what the Balabas told me, vein kol vein kosher. There was almost a silence, a quiet in the shul. And after he completed his drasha and was waiting for individuals to respond, there was no response. A few months later, Hagoyin Rav Nachum Rabinovitz donated to the State of Israel his salary. I don't know what salary he received in the shul. I can't tell you. However, I do know that that action on his part engendered such an emotional response in the shul. The shul was carried to a high, and the next short while, the shul raised several million dollars for the State of Israel for the Yom Kippur War. The Balabas told me that that action on the part of Nochem Rabinovitz enamored him to Rabbi Rabinovitz for the rest of his life. He became attached to this Rav for decades and was very instrumental in helping him build many, many buildings in the yeshiva Malei Adumim. But this quiet action on the part of the Rav, the Shiva, the Goyim, the Tzaddik, sparked such a response on the part of Balabatim, not just this one Balabas, but many who came to know him and were unbelievably connected to this quiet, unassuming, incredible Rosh Hashiva. He's the Mechaber of many Svarim on the Rambam. I believe he authored 14 volumes, Yad Pshuta on the Rambam, a very original kind of approach, and Chels and Chuvas, and many could trace him, and obviously many, many wonderful shiurim that he was zocheh to say. So the shiur is Le'ilu Nishmas, such a wonderful person. And perhaps I will also, at the end of the shiur, connect the theme of the parsha to this outstanding goal. I've always been struck by Parshas Emor in the following way. My father Shalom taught me that when you read a text, any text, but certainly a text in Chumash and Tanakh has to be read with the fine-tooth comb. We're talking about the Dvar Hashem. And the language of the Torah is very fascinating. The Torah uses three verbs in the course of the entire parsha to describe directives that were given by Hashem to Moshe Rabbeinu, to Aaron HaKohen. And let's just refer to these three verbs. The first is Emor. That is a rather prominent verb. Hashem tells Moshe, Emor al HaKohen b'nei Aaron, v'yomato alehem, v'nefesh lo yitam v'amav. Here we have the laws of Tumah v'Tara that relate to Kohanim. But the lashon of the pasuk and the repetitive element of this word is clearly something that's rather pronounced. Vayomer, Emor, v'yamarta, Chazal have what to say about it. Starting with pasuk tezayin, the Torah now turns to another verb, and this verb becomes the central verb that's utilized in the parsha. Again, many, many directives being given by Hashem to Moshe, starting from pasuk tezayin, by Daber Hashem Moshe Leimor. And here we have many dinim that relate to Kohanim in terms of someone who's a Balmum cannot, of course, be involved in Avodah, the Beis Hamikdash. The Torah continues at the end, Pasuk Abdallah, by Daber Moshe al Aaron v'Albana v'Yakob b'nei Yisrael. And it continues in Perach Avdeis, again, the language of by Daber Hashem al Moshe Leimor. And here again, we have a series of halachas related to Kohanim. In Pasuk Yizayin Yitches, more halachas, again, with the preamble of by Daber Hashem al Moshe Leimor, Daber al Aaron v'Albana. Following that, well-known psukim that are connected with Yom Tovim, Pasuk Chavav, Chav Zayin, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor, Shor Chesav Eizki Yivoleid, the fact that we have to wait 7 days, only on the 8th day we can offer up the animals of Korban. Torah continues with the Parshas HaMoadim. The Mishnah at the end of Megillah calls this the Parshas HaMoadim, Perach of Gimel, and this also is preceded and interspersed constantly with the language of Dibor. And you'll just read the Sukkim, you'll see again in Tesin Yud, the language of Dibor. Again, in Chav Gimel Chav Dalet, when the Torah introduces Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, in Chav Zayin, Sukkis, Lam Gimel Lam Dalet, and of course the Sukkim and the Pasha Mordin, with Pasuk Mem Dalet, the end of Chav Gimel, Perach Chav Gimel, by Daber Moshe, the language of Dibor clearly is the central verb utilized in all these directives regarding the Mardim, regarding Kohanim. The Torah continues in Perek Abdal again, by Daber Hashem Moshe Lemor. And here we have the Parsha of the Menorah, Shem Zayis, and Pasuk Kei, the Din of Lechem Aponim that's mentioned. And finally, the Torah ends with Pasuk Tes, Vayisol Aaron Uvana Bachalub Makom Kadosh Ki Kadosh Kadoshim Hulam Meishah Hashem Chokolam. So we have the dinim of Tumah V'Tara for Kohanim and an assorted array of dinim that relate to Kohanim, the Parshas HaMoadim, And finally, the end of the parsha in Perachav Dal Pasuk Yud, and that's going to be the focus of our attention in the shiur this evening, the following series of psukim, which are very enigmatic, almost incomprehensible when one reads the text and takes it for face value. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, Torah describes a son of a Jewish woman. Vehu ben Ish Mitzri, his father was an Egyptian, a non-Jew, a goy, b'sof v'nei Yisrael. He leaves, we don't know exactly where he goes. Vayinotzu b'machaneh, and there's some sort of quarrel. Ben ha-Yisraelit v'Isha Yisraeli. Between this son of a Jewish woman and another Jew. And then the Torah uses the third verb that I want to, again, indicate, Vayikov. The language of Vayikov, Chazal, understand this as referring to Birkas Hashem, metaphorically, blasphemy, what's known as Giduf. Vayikov ben Isha, you said this is Hashem, Vayikaleo, Vayavir also Moshe, Vishen Imo. Now the Torah identifies his mother, Shlomis Bas Divri, the Matidot. And again, just the language of his mother's name is Shlomit Bas Dibri. Dibri, of course, connected to the language of Dibur. And the question is, what were they going to do with him? What's the psak? And the Torah goes on to say, Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Yidaber, Hotzeh from the Kaleo, and there's a din of skila that applies to him. And then we have a series of halachas that apply to someone who, God forbid, is guilty of Birkas Hashem, of blaspheming the name of Hashem. And then at the end, the Torah then suddenly introduces a parsha, which again, Mefarshim have a spent a lot of time trying to connect this parsha to the entire parsha as a whole. The last series of psukim, where the Torah describes the ish ki yakdik ol nefesh adam mosyumas, would seem that this parsha, it's appropriate. Locus would be Pashas Mishpatim. We're talking about Nezikin. Someone goes ahead and inflicts some sort of a wound in someone else, and the Torah goes on to say, Makin Nefesh Behema Yishalmena, Nefesh Tachas Nefesh, Ishki Ten Mumba Miso Kasher Osa Ken Yosolo, Shever Tachas Shever, Ari Tachas Ayin. We're familiar with these Tzukim. They found the Mishpatim. What exactly is their location here? Why is that to be, why was that inserted in this context? And the Torah then indicates the end of the parsha that Klal Yisrael carry out the psak that was given by Hashem to Moshe, skila, to the Mekalel, uvnei Yisrael also kasher, tivu Hashem es Moshe. So we have three verbs that are really utilized in the very beginning of the parsha, the Lashon of Amira, in the bulk of the parsha, the Lashon of Dibur, and finally the end of the parsha, the language of Nokiv Shem Hashem, Vayikov, Vayikalel. So we have really here a kind of evolution. Alpi Pshat, one would suggest that the term Amira generally refers to Lashon Rakov. Kosom Ada Beis Yaakov, the Torah says earlier in the context of Perikites, Pashin Yisro, Rashi comments already, Lashon Rakov. Dibur already is a stronger Lashon, and of course the Lashon of Nokiv, Vayiko, Vayikalel, is clearly a language which is absolutely unconscionable, incredibly strong lashon of blaspheming, the Shem Hashem. So the entire parsha is really framed with verbs that relate to Amira. The Medrash Tanchuma, in the very beginning of the parsha, has a comment. The Medrash says at the beginning of the pasuk, Emor ha'akonim, zeu shomar, quotes the pasuk in Tehillim, Perakut Beis, Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros. Kol ma she'akadosh baruch hu mazir es Yisrael, why does Hashem give us warnings? Bishul kedushasim v'taharasim. In order to enhance HaKadusha, in order to enhance HaTahara, Evi Omer, Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros. So there are several definitions of this concept of Imros Tahoros. Of course, the literal translation is that the Medrash writes, it's connected to Kedusha, it's connected to Tahara, it's connected to Nikias. The Gemara has a number of times, the Gemara speaks about how the Torah goes out of its way. The Torah is very careful how it frames its language. The Gemara in the beginning of Sochim and elsewhere. The olam al yotzi adam losha megunah mipiv. Shari ikim akosov lo lahotzi davim megunah mipiv. The Torah is exceptionally cautious and careful how we should speak. When the Torah describes animals that are not kosher, it's hagomol, that the gomol is not mafris parsa, just tells you what it's not, as opposed to what it is. An incredible zehirus with reference to how one speaks. Because imros Hashem, imros tahoros, Chacham Yerushalayim always spoke with Lashon Nekiyah. So one translation of tahoros is Lashon Naki. A second idea that's embedded in the notion of Amira, that we know that the difference between the Ribbono Shel Olam and the Melech Basar Adam, this is also indicated in the Medrash. Melech Basar Adam makes many, many promises. La'avdil me'alfafi abdolos, politicians who are running for office, obviously have to promise their constituents in many, many haftochas. And often, once they're elected, those haftochas are forgotten, are not carried out. But of course, Ribbono Shel Olam, Hashem Elokim Emes, Yirmiyahu HaNavi says, he always carries out his promises. Sukkim in Chumash indicate that as well. Keil Amunah Ve'en Ovel, Tzadik V'yoshahu, what Hashem promises, he carries out. And Amira is an Amira. And Chazal speak about this as well, that Sheris Yisrael Lo Yatsu Abla, Lo Yidabru Chazov, that when someone gives his word, that word is something which is trustworthy, something that we rely on, something that we're sumnich on. Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros. This is a second element that's embedded in the term Amira, an element of Emes, of Netzach. And there's a third shot, which is actually a Medrash Rabbah. The Medrash tells us that Tinogel Shabbos Rabbah, the Tinogel Shabbos David, B'fnei She'tom U'tam Chet. Before they were towing Tam Chet, Doshu, they were able to dash in the Torah, Mentes Panim Tomei, Mentes Panim Tor. They were able to darshan in an untrammeled kind of fashion, uninhibited, and that all comes from a tahara, a person who has a lev tahor, a moach tahor, machshavas tahoros, someone has a pure mind, so that person is able to be zolcheh to the or, hagonos in many respects, so the Chazanish writes in the Munim Bitochem. So all this is embedded in the language of Amira. Amira has in it the element of Nikius, of Kedusha Vitara, the element of Emes, of Yashrus, and the element that a person can be Zocher with Amira that is carefully formulated to an or, to a light of Torah that is unparalleled. The Pasuk here essentially, or the Psukim Kimad, the entire Pasha, come to teach the Ikonian, the Inyan of Amira. A Kohen, of course, is a Madig, is a spiritual leader. He has to say something that's true, not just today, but tomorrow, in the distant future. Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros. And that's exactly what Lashon Nekiyah is all about. And this is by way of, as I said, introduction to the main issue I want to talk about, which is the end of the Pasha. Namely, the Torah tells us in Perek Avdalid, Sukkim Yud Yud Aleph, strange enigmatic Sukkim. Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, as we read earlier, a few moments ago, a son of a Jewish woman, and his father is a goy, b'hu ben ish mitzri, b'toch b'nei Yisrael, v'yinotzu b'machaneh, there's some sort of a struggle, some sort of a machlekes, ben ha-Yisraelis, Isha Yisraeli, between this son of the Jewish woman and non-Jewish father, and he has some sort of a machlekes with another Jew. Vayiko ben Isha Yisraelis Hashem vayikalel. He engages in Brichas Hashem, in Giduf, blasphemy, vayaviu also al Moshe, and his mother's name is mentioned at this point in time, v'shem imo, shlomus bat dibri v'matidon. The Farshim on Chumash are curious why the Torah has not revealed the name of the Mekalel. The Torah does not reveal as well who the Isha Yisraeli is that he has a struggle with, and Mepharshim discuss it. Apparently at this point in time, there's no need to reveal to us this information, and the identity of all these personalities is a subject a lot of discussion in Chazal, in Medrash, in the Zohar. That's not our interest right now, but I just want to focus on a yitzod that I heard from a great Goyim who happened to be my Menahel. When I was in parochial school, day school, I had a Menahel who was a Goyim. I didn't know that. I was too young to appreciate what he was all about. His name was Rabbi Yehuda Leib Kagan, Zechatag Devracha. He later on became the Masnich in a number of big yeshivas after he left the principalship of a day school in the Bronx, New York. And he developed an idea which I want to share with you this evening in the shir. Regarding the name of the mother of the Mekalel, as I said, the Torah initially does not reveal her name, but the Torah does mention that the Megades, it tells you about his lineage. Ben Isha Yisraelis and Ben Ish Mitzri. And at the end of this event, the Torah reveals the mother, Shlomis Bas Divri, the Matidah. Not only does the Torah reveal her name, but also tells us whom she's the daughter of. And Rashi actually on the spot quotes Midrashim that why she called Bas Dibri. Rashi says, Dabrona Soisa, she had a loquacious kind of propensity, tendency. The Medrash actually tells us that's why she's called Bas Dibri. And once the Torah reveals to us her name and the Sheva that she comes from. So obviously that piece of information is important. The question, of course, is, as I mentioned a moment ago, why did the Torah not reveal this name initially before her son engaged in Giduf in Birkas Hashem? And the Targum Yonason writes on the spot, and it's quoted by Chazal, that the Birkas Hashem was the Shem that was heard at Sinai. And many Mefarshim, as I said, discuss this, the Archaim HaKadosh, the Ababonel, and those other Mefarshim. But there is a comment in the Zohar that's also quoted, and I just want to read the language of the Zohar. Pasuk says, Vayiko ben ha'isha Yisraelis Hashem, that this individual cursed, he articulated the Shem Hashem, the Shem HaMefarsh that was heard at Sinai, Maru Vayiko, Rabbi Abba Amar, Vayikov, Noki Madahavasosin. He publicly was Mecharef, was Megadef, a shame that was completely hidden. Mishem Imo Shlomis Bas Divri, and then the Zohar goes on to say his mother's name, Adkan Sosin Shmo, the Ime. And this, before this point, the mother's name was not revealed. Came to Tzir Vayikov, Noki Shmo, the Ime. Once he cursed, then his mother's name comes to the fore. Apparently, the Zohar is telling us that this juxtaposition, first, the act of Nokev Shem Hashem, the act of Birchas Hashem, followed by revealing her identity, is inexorably connected. We know the hashpa of a mother on a child is nothing short of being incredible. There's generally a lot of discussion about nature versus nurture, and unquestionably both contribute significantly to any individual. But Chazal many, many times speak about the impact of a mother on a child. Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal, the famous hesped he said for his mechutenet, the Talmud Rebbetzin, really describes this beautifully. He talks about his father who taught him halacha, who taught him how to think critically, how to analyze texts. But ultimately, he said, his father may have taught him Hilchos Shabbos, but his mother really taught him what the Ruach of Shabbos, what the tone of Shabbos, what the covered in Shabbos and Onik Shabbos, what they mean. The Kedusha of Shabbos was imparted to him by his mother. And Chazal said, the Gemara Yevamos tells us, Bayeinu, Shem Begadlo says, Baneinu, we have to be Makir Tov to our mothers, to our wives, who raise our children. The Gemara says in Kedushin that the reason why the Torah is Matim, keep it up to keep it aim, the Pashin Kedoshim, it says first, there in the context of Mora, Ish Imo V'Yavim Tiro, the reason is because there's a need to redress the inherent issue, namely that by definition, a child is more fearful of his father than his mother, and the Torah has to go ahead and redress that grievance by first articulating Ish Imo V'Yavim Tiro, telling us the obligation of Mora applies to mother as well. The reference to Kibbutz The Torah says in Nafesh HaDibra, it's Kavida Sabicha Vesivecha. First he mentions the father. Why is that so? Because inherently a child is the Kavida his mother more than his father. Why is that? The Gemara says in Kedushin, and Daflami, the nation is Shadal to Bidvarim. Because the mother has the ability to woo a child, and she's able to do so verbally, Mishadal to Bidvarim. And we know that Chazal say that Uba Yerech Imo, in Ubar, in utero, is connected to the mother. There's a famous Yerushalmi that takes his quote from Maseches Chagiga with reference to Elisha ben Abuya. Elisha ben Abuya, we know, left the path, Yotel the Tabrisuel. So the Yerushalmi says, quoted by Teis Chagiga, that Tezvav of the base, Sha'isa Imo Shel Acher Muberesbo, when she was pregnant, Avra Pam Abati Abedazara, she passed a cloister, some sort of a church, and somehow she scented from the Takrevis of the Zara, it says that that reach apparently penetrated her very innards, like eris, like poison. And Tysus even actually has an opinion that she ate from that min of Takrevis of the Zara, but apparently had a massive hashpah on her son, till he unfortunately left the fold. This is the Mashal writes over there in Chagiga. So you see the incredible hashpah of a mother on a child. Or the Yerushalmi quoted in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Mishnah tells us that Shoba Chanan Yashri Elanato, the Yerushalmi tells us his mother used to take the, when she was prior to his being born, and then subsequent to his being born, passed by the Beis Medrash, so he would hear the Kol HaTorah, and somehow in utero, and subsequently as a young child, he'd be able to absorb the Kol HaTorah. So coming back to our issue, as long as this Ben Isha Yisraelis, the Torah says, was still B'toch Machaneh Yisrael, even though Yotzo Me'olomo, and there are different Pshatim and Rashi's explain the language of Ayetze, the Torah still calls him the Ben Yisraelis. The Torah does not mention her name. The moment, however, we examine his actions, namely that he, Rachman Litzlan, engaged in Birkas Hashem, the blasphemy of the Shem Hashem, then the Torah felt constrained to reveal the name of his mother. And clearly the Zohar says there's a direct connection between the mother and the child. Shlomi Bas Dibri, undoubtedly, the fact that his father was a Ish Mitzri is a factor as well, but Chazal are stressing the effect of a mother. And here we see that everything, to a large extent, the Gemara says in Brachos, that Asher Som Shamos Baaretz Altikne Shamos El Hashemos, in Yerodea there's a sugi of Shmogorim. Hashem means a lot. Often we find the name that's given to a person when they're born, you have this in Chazal, in Midrashim, but don't necessarily reflect the name that's actually associated with them as a result of their life activity. A good example would be the Gemara in Seita that talks about Yocheved and Miriam, when the king of Egypt, after the Gzeira, Kalabein HaYilad HaEret HaShechu V'Kalabas T'Chayun, so he tells the Mialdos the Ibrios, one was named Shifra, one was named Pua. So the Gemara says, who are they? Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel, Yocheved and Miriam. Another opinion says it was Yocheved and Elisheva, the wife of Aaron. Rashi quotes this in Chumash as well. But the Braisa says, and this is well known, Shifra is Yocheved. V'lom Adiko Shema Shifra, Sha'isa Meshaperes Esavlad. She spent her time beautifying the child. Pua Zumiriam, why she called Pua Sha'isa Poa Lavlad. She would coo to the child. They would use all their feminine qualities, the feminine charm, the feminine chen, in order to help in terms of raising children. And this discussion between Rav and Shmuel, as the Gemara quotes it, as the Machlokes, is clearly something which is very significant in terms of that the name is not simply a name, but the name is a reflection, a deep reflection of the very tchunos, the qualities, the character traits that that person has. We have a similar situation in the Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara speaks about the parasha at the end of Balak, the eating of Pinchas, when Pinchas engaged in the act of kanos, of zealotry, when the Torah describes Yinei, Ish v'nei Yisrael bo, and we have the famous Mishnah of Kanoim Kogim bo, and v'shem Ish Yisrael Hamukia, the Torah says, the name of the person that was smitten, Asher Huko Samidyon Zimri Ben Solu, and her name was Kozdi Basur, and the Gemara Dashins, those names. And the names that the Gemara Dashins are very revealing in terms of their behavior. So the whole idea of a Shem is not simply a way to identify the individual, but it's far beyond that. And this is already a sort of the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis. The Ramban comments that other Rishon was given the task of naming all the created beings of Hashem, and the Pasuk says, Perek Beis, Pasuk Gites, Pasuk Chof, Vayikra Adam Shemo, Fuchal Abayimo, Ulof HaShamayim, Ulochol Chayas HaSode, and that name that he gave each of the Ninim remained forever, becomes eternally embedded and attached to that particular creature. Pasuk says in Tehillim, even regarding the hosts of heaven, the Kulam Shemo Sikra. And that's a very deep inyan. And it's not simply a question, as I said, of being able to identify a particular species, but it's considerably more than that. There's a Medrash Chazal of Bereishis Rabba that says, Omer Avacha, V'shoshek B'Kadosh Baruch Hu Livro Ses Ha'odom, Nimlach B'Malachei Ashoris. When Hashem wanted to create other Rishon, he consulted Malachei Ashoris. We know what Rashi says, Nase Odom, B'Tzalmeinu, Kid Museinu, and that's the Gemara has the Megillah, where in the Targum HaShivim, in the translation of the Septuagint, 70 Chachamim put in separate rooms. They were concerned about that language, Nase Odom. They changed it to Es Odom because we might be accused of Shnei Rashios, multiplicity of deities. But Rashi says that the Rishon consulted with the Malachim, Chua Barov Yoleks. In general, before one does something, one should consult with others. And so he consulted Malchei Ashores, and he asked them whether he should create other Rishon. And they asked Hashem, what's the nature of this Adam, of this chap? Amalan, he said, Chachmosu Ruva B'Shalachem, that other Rishon is greater, has greater Chachma than you. Heidi Lufnein Esabahim Esachai Esaof, Amalan Zeh Mashimo, Zeh Mashimo. He brought the Malachim a menagerie of animals and asked them to, could you please tell me the name of this one, of that animal? They weren't able to do so. He brought them before Adam, Arishon, Yamalot, Mashmo, what's this one's name, what's that one's name? And he said, Zeshor, Zechamor, Zesus, Zegomo, Viato, you are the Arishon, what's your name? You should call me Adam, Shinibreshim in Adama, because I was created from the Adama. And Hashem said, okay, since you're good, you're so good at giving names, Vani, Mashmi, what's my name? Amalo, so Adam Rishon said, Hashem is Barach, Noeli, Koros, your name should be Aleph Dal Nun Yud, Sha'ata Adon Lechol B'Yosecha. You are the master, the proprietor of the entire world. So essentially what we learn, and this is what the Ramban really, in his Perash HaTorah, writes this explicitly. Ramban refers to this Medrash, and he tells us that the name that was given by other Rishon was a name that reflected the very essence, the very nature of each of these animals. I'll just read his Lashon. Behulama dehikir tivam shekolakameyem. Hulama Hashem ha'royolem kedit tiveyem. He knew their nature. He understood their very inner self. Uveshenos nisboyem miu ha'royim lios ezer ha'chavero. Hainu ha'royim l'holid zeh mizeh. And the Ramban says that Hashem is not just a simon to be makir this particular animal, but rather habdola saninim fitzurosam hanafshiim. It essentially reflects their very soul, their very essence. And that's why this idea, which is found not only in the Ramban, it's found also in another mafarshim, I think the Sforno, also comments that other Marishon had to clearly examine each of the created beings and really penetrate. And somehow he was able through the name to distill the very heart, the very essence of each being. And so the Gaon writes also in Aderes Aliyahu, he sort of defined each of their character traits. This idea is also seen a number of times in Chazal elsewhere, that Chazal described the different character traits and attributes of each animal. Chazal speaking about a yona that's very neman to its ben zug, very faithful to its partner. The Gemara says in Erevin, a nafkuf, the Gemara speaks about a cat that has a certain sense of modesty about it, tznius. The Gemara speaks about a tarnagol that has a sense of derecheres attached to it. So each of these animals certainly has particular qualities, and we know that to a large extent, and this is the point actually which is probably made best by the Sefer HaChinuch, who constantly in his psychological analysis of a human being speaks about behavior therapy. The notion that the more I do something, the more I condition myself to do something by repeating the action again and again, first wants to develop a certain midah, so it has to be done many, many times just to extrapolate from another area where there's a machlokus among the Rishonim between the Rambam and others. The Rambam writes in Pirsha Mishnayis of Avos, when the Mishnah says, HaKol Lefi Rov HaMaaseh, so the Rambam interprets that Mishnah in the following way. A person has $100 to give tzedakah. What is it better to do? Is it better to give $1 to each ani, which means you're engaging in 100 acts of tzedakah? Or is it better to give one ani $100, or perhaps two ani and $50, where they'll clearly be able to have greater hanah from the tzedakah that was given to them? So the Rambam writes, as a milta the pshita, never push it, it's better to give $1 to 100 aniyim, because by virtue of doing 100 actions, 100 pu'ulos of tzedakah, you'll become a nadvan. You'll develop the spirit of philanthropy, you'll become a philanthropist, you'll become sensitive to other people's sensitivities, sensibilities. You'll be able to know the plight of others who are not as zoche as you are, imo nochi b'tzara, and the whole intent of the mitzvah tzedakah is not just to be mahane, the recipient, but also to ultimately impact the nadvan, the nosir tzedakah, that he should be transformed as well. And this is the yisod that really was developed in the Sefer HaChinuch at great length many, many times throughout the Sefer HaChinuch. Just one example in Mitzvah Tezayin, there he writes, Ki adam nifal kafi pu'ulosav, v'libo v'kol machshavosav, tomi lachamasav, shirosigvem in tobi imra. V'afilu rasha gomer bilvava, even someone who's not such a good person. V'chol yetzim machshavos libo rak rak kol ayom, im yara brucho, v'yotzim ishtadluso, v'isto v'asmoga v'tomo v'mitzvus, afilu l'sholo v'shem shamayim, Chazal tell us, so how does the person change? How does the person transform his or her persona? So the Chinuch suggests you start engaging in positive actions, actions of Limud Torah, actions of doing mitzvahs, and you do them again and again and again on a recurring kind of basis. Even if you do it Shalom Hashem Shamayim, that constant redoing of mitzvahs again and again, and that is the methodology to go ahead and somehow overcome the Yetzer Hara and change your entire persona. Of course, it could be something that may take not only weeks, perhaps months, perhaps years, but at the end of the day, that's exactly how a person should go about changing his personality. So, to a large extent, we know that even though a person has a name that was given to him, perhaps when he's born, that's usually the case, in terms of a child, at the Bris Milah, in terms of a young woman, either as soon as she's born, or Monday, Thursday, or Shabbos, whatever the particular meaning happens to be. But there's no question that the Mesiras Hashoram writes like this. He points out in the Midas HaZrizos that the Chitzomius affects the Pnimius. The way a person dresses, and the way a person behaves, even outwardly, even though it's only cosmetic in nature, often that can have a big impact on him. When a person is dressed in Big Day Shabbos, Big Day Chag, Big Day Yom Tov, it changes his entire tone, his entire approach. So even though it's true that, as I mentioned before, the Pasuk in Tehillim, we say it every day in the davening, and Rav Chaim Volozhiner really refers to this in Nefesh HaChaim as well, that we mentioned over there that Kadosh Baruch Hu is Moneh Mispar the Kohavim the Kulam Shema Sikra. Every star has a name. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, but each star has its own identity, its own Shem. We say also the Navi writes Yishayom, Su Mar Menecha Maru Mi Bara Eile Hamotzi Ben Mispar Tzvam the Kulam Hashem Yikra. So again, one might ask, what Shevach is there? When in reality, we're talking about billions of stars, galaxies of stars. Where exactly is the Shevach? And the answer, of course, is that no. Ribbono Shel Olam, it's true. One can view constellations of stars, or galaxies of stars, or the pantheon of all the hosts of Shamayim. But at the end of the day, each individual star has a particular tafkid. We don't fully understand what their tafkid is, but in a similar kind of fashion, each human being has a tafkid, each human being has a shem. You say in the davening of Shabbos, Ato Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, just like you are one, your shem, the shem of Hashem, is also one, which means that even though it appears that the Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes engages in what seems to be all kinds of spheres, all kinds of contradictions, but we don't fully grasp the nature of Hashem. We have many questions often, but ultimately we recognize the fact that Eisa Shalom B'Mreimah V'Yasa Shalom Aleinu. Eish and Mayim don't live together, cannot coexist. Yet the Ribbono Shel Olam was able to make peace between Eish and Mayim, Ato Echad, V'Shimcha Echad, and therefore, to a large extent, even though Chazal tell us, it's also Medrash Tanchuma, I believe in Bayakel, that we have three names that a person has. One name is what his parents call him. A second name is what other people call him. Often people give individual nicknames that more or less capture some aspect of their personalities. And finally, the name which is most significant is that which a person acquires himself as a result of his efforts, as a result of his constant contribution to the world at large. And that's the Shem that Chazal indicate ultimately is really the Shem that captures the essence of the individual. So now going back to the parsha that we began with, Vayetze. So the Torah does not describe whom he is, whom his father is, except for the fact that his mother is Jewish, his mother is a Jewish woman, his father is a non-Jew, is an Egyptian. But once he curses, then we see the Zohar connects this mother, Shlomis Bas Divri, and the Torah tells us whom she is, because her Shem, Kanireh, reflects her character, her very essence. As Rashi quotes from Chazal, she was a patetet, constantly involved in Dibur, Shalom Aleich, Shalom Aleich, Shalom Aleichem, the patetet, the Dvarim, and Bat Divri, again, Dabronis, and this is something with Chazal speak about a number of different contexts, but the point being that the Shem and the kind of behavior that he engaged in was directly connected, the Amira, not Amira and not Dibur, but rather Birkas Hashem. Vayikov, no Kev Shem Hashem Mos Yumos. Vayikaleh, that language very much reflected his mother and where he came from, and that behavior was a product, to a large extent, of his background. The parasha that we just examined, Vayetze ben Isha Yisraelis, just by way of quickly overviewing what Chazal tell us about the parasha, that the issue that's involved over here happens to be the subject of a famous Ramban and probably a good segment of the Sefer Mishnah Lemelech, Mishnah Lemelech of a Sefer called Parshas Drachim, which is concerned with the issue of what's the status of Kal Yisrael before Matan Torah, after Matan Torah. Rashi here said the whole machlokes here between the two was over the question, does he have a chelik in Shevet Dan? Does he not have a chelik in Shevet Dan? The issue relates to Chalukas Haaretz. Will he have a share in the Chalukah of Eretz Yisrael or not? The Torah here is teaching us the din of Chalukas Haaretz, that someone who is the child of a Jewish woman from Shevet Dan, his father's a non-Jew, and we have a halacha Mishpachesim, Leveis HaVeisim, he's not going to get a share in Eretz Yisrael. Or perhaps the Torah is teaching us another din, the din of Kamlei V'Rabi Minei. So the Gemara learns out from this Tasha, the din of Kamlei V'Rabi Minei. And that's the connection between what I asked earlier, the end of the Pasha, Perach Abdal, Pasach Abdalach, Umaki Behemi, Shamen, Umaki Adam Yumas, just like Umaki Behemi, someone who injures an animal, is obligated in a monetary payment, so too, Umaki Adam Yumas, V'lo Mishali Momom. He's going to be guilty of two punishments, he'll get the most severe punishment, he won't get the monetary punishment. So here also, when he had this, Machlokes was another Jew, he's Chayav Momom, he's Chayav Misa, because he was Megadev, and Moshe asks Hashem what to do, Hashem tells him, Zedin Kamlev is Ramine, he's part of a Momom, but whatever the case is, that is the halakhi backdrop for this. But why would a person engage in Giduf? Very difficult to understand. What prompted him, what motivated him, why he came to this terrible, very unfortunate and tragic kind of event. And again, Mefarshim discussed this. There's a kind of like tzonus that Rashi actually quotes here with reference to the Lakha Maporim. He couldn't understand why Hashem Yisbarach would have any interest whatsoever in Lakha Maporim that waited 9 days and is no longer fresh. And why would I give Melech Malkin Amlochim 9-day-old bread, as it were, that was baked Erev Shabbos? We know that Afiyas Alechem, Maporim is not Deicha Shabbos. And from Erev Shabbos to the following Shabbos, including Erev Shabbos, and the week that follows, of course, there's 9 days. What kind of Derech Eretz is this? This is what he asked. He really asked the Kasha on the Yivonah Shel Olam. Of course, Chazal tell us the answer to the Kasha is obvious. Pasuk says in Shmuel that there was a net and the lechem was fresh, hot, piping, and succulent the way it was when it was placed on the shulchan, and that's what the lechem upon. So that's the teretz for the kasha of the Megadim. But he didn't know this teretz, and apparently he didn't recognize the net. He should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu. And whatever the case is, there are many, many questions that people could have, and undoubtedly, we can't always answer the questions. In Yiddish, there's always an expression, "Tanakasha Shtarbenisht," don't die from a question. And we know that the ways of Hashem, Darkei Hashem, Nistarim. And again, I feel constrained to go back to the corona. Here we have an unbelievable virus that has engulfed the entire world and brought us down to its knees. And there is so much unknown about this virus. Literally, it is so unknown where we don't even have a clue how to deal with the issue. What we do know is how somehow to maintain some semblance of control and to try to prevent this transmission, but we've yet to really come to the depths of it. We've yet to discover a vaccine. Hopefully they will discover one shortly. And it's unbelievable that this entire coronavirus reminds me of Lahavdil, Pesukim and Iyov, where Iyov also questioned Hashem Yisbarach many, many kashas. So here we have many kashas in the Ribono Shel Olam, but with all of our technological prowess and the like, we don't have a clue what this COVID-19 virus is all about. So coming back to the language of Amira, and we mentioned at the beginning of this shiur, 3 different shotim regarding Amira. Amira reflects MS, not just now, but for the future, an absolute kind of MS. Amira reflects Nikius, Kedusha, Vitara, and with a proper Amira, which has in it both MS and Nikius, it can also be Zaycha to the Ohar Torah. When a person gives Tachacha, so Chazal tell us that often Tachacha, when one is constrained to give it, why does one give Tachacha? Because one sees many nether elements in society, how people behave under different circumstances, and we want to try our best to correct it. There's a din that if one sees something and one is in a position to be mochem, to correct it, one should try to do so. Of course, one has to do so, as I mentioned many times from the Shlach Kadosh, Al tochach leletz pen yisna'eka, tochach lechocham pen yeh. How should one give Musar? says the Shlach Kadosh, Hochach Lechachem. You tell a person, you know, you're such a wise man, you're a smart person, you're someone who's very sensible, very sensitive. You should really take a different tactic, a different approach to doing things. If one takes that approach, namely, I appeal to the Torah of the person, to the Gutzkeit, to the very pinful the Yid, to that inner neshama that all of us have, that we're wonderful people, we're good people. If we begin in an optimistic kind of fashion, and we end on an optimistic note, and we use Lashon Nekiyah, then hopefully we appeal to the Koach HaTorah of Klal Yisrael, and that will unquestionably have a positive impact. In other words, I have to accentuate the Lashon Nekiyah. And that's what the Chazal tells in the third pshat, relating to Amira, Tinagash of Beis David, they were pure. They were not toying any chet, that's what Chazal say. With young children, we start learning with them by Yikra, Yavo Tahorim, Yisasku B'Torim. We learn the sugyas of Tabanos, which are very complicated sugyas. And the idea of chinuch, as Rashi mentions here, Emor V'Yamarta, La'hazik Dolim Alaktanim. The chinuch of Limud HaTorah has to be before the toying tam chet. Sofu Le'Keturah. A young child has a tara, has a purity, an innocence, a tzmimus to him, to her. And that's when the ideal time of setting the sharashim, and that is, in many respects, and that ideal that we should strive for. We'll just end with the psukim in Malachi. The Navi tells us in Malachi, it speaks divrei bikores and kohanim, that they did all kinds of things that are not in sync with this pasha, with the pasha and emor. Magishim al mizbechim lechem lechem megaol. Be'amarchem shtulchem Hashem nivzahu. There's a kind of accusation against the Kohanim, and the Kohanim ask, Vanegi al-Mucha, what did we do? They don't seem to understand what the accusation of Hashem is brought against them. And he's speaking to righteous Kohanim, to good Kohanim, to wonderful Kohanim. People bring Karbanos, and the Navi tells us they're not makbid on Mumim, which again is this week's Pasha. They're not makbid on animals that are stolen, mitzvah bav avera, a number of sugis in Shas, and so shulchan Hashem begohu. So the Navi says, you don't have to take that kind of tack, the shulchan Hashem begohu, but rather, when you give into tochacha, so the Navi tells you how. Masod va Hashem al Yisrael biyad malachi. The Navi Malachi, the very beginning, tells us how to give Musa. And the Ibn Shom says, ahafti eschem omer Hashem. We have to show Klal Yisrael that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is overflowing with Ava towards Klal Yisrael. The Amira of the Techocha has to be Amira addressed to a Chocham. And the Ibn Shom says, if you are my children, why don't you appreciate that which I do? And that's why Malachi, the Navi ends, the end of Malachi, famous Sukkim, Toras Emes Chaisu Befiu, the Abla Lonimta Bisfasov, the Shalom of Mishar, Aaron Akain, we know that he was Mochiach Klal Yisrael to Ahava, Ahava Mekalkel Sashua, Oyev Shalom, Berodiv Shalom, Oyev Sabrios, and the Kabbalah Tela. And that's the kind of approach that I believe Pashas Emor is all about, from beginning to end. It began with Amira, and the Amira, of course, is Lashon Rata. And that has to be the approach that we take when we give Tochacha, when we instruct, when we try to teach Talmidim and others, members of our family, young children, Klal Yisrael. Sometimes we have to have recourse to Dibur. There has to be a stronger kind of Lashon, directives, but Chas V'Shalom, it should never come to, God forbid, no Keshem Hashem Bosumas, and often that's a reflection of, as we mentioned in the Shir, of Dibur that was not utilized properly, of inappropriate Dibur, of Dibur that doesn't reflect Lashon Nekiyah, of Dibur that is not in place. And this is, I believe, an incredibly significant lesson that the Torah is telling us. Derech Eretz Kadmo LaTorah. This is part of Derech Eretz. Part of Derech Eretz is how we speak to others, how we interact with others, how we relate to others. Halavai, we should be zocheh, that our connection to others should be using the model of Aaron HaKohen, Oiv Shalom, Berodev Shalom, that's the entire Pasha of Emor, is the Pasha of Kohanim, Oiv Sabrios, Umekavim HaTorah, Aidei Amiro Shel Imros Hashem, Imros Tahoros.